From awaytogarden.com and robinhoodradio.com, this is Away to Garden with Margaret Roach, your weekly invitation to dig in and grow.
Your questions this month ranged from favorite blue hydrangeas to junipers with browning needles and even birds tapping incessantly on window glass. You know what that means? It's urgent garden question time, and Ken Drews is back to help answer what listeners asked about. But first, this message.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
Longtime friend and fellow garden writer Ken Drews is author of many books, including The New Shade Garden and Natural Companions and Making More Plants. And for those of you listening from near the capital region of New York State, Ken will join me at the New York State Writers Institute's second annual book festival on Saturday, September 14th, 2019. And we're going to have information about how you can join this wonderful, big, free, day-long book festival and meet us with the transcript of the show. Hi, Ken.
Hi, that's hard to say.
I know. New York State Writers Institute second annual book festival, September 14th. Me and Ken.
Okay, it's a good thing my name doesn't start with an S.
I know, right? That was a hard one. Yeah. So we'll be together in real life, and we're going to do sort of a almost like a version of the show, like one of our events that we're going to do together is like a Q&A kind of thing, right?
So, only better.
Only better, because it's in IRL, in real life. So, yeah. So I know that you, because we talked in preparation for today, you had a quick recap on something we've talked about before. It's back, right? Have you seen your daughter?
Oh, my gosh. You know, you'd say it's back. I thought of like 100 things.
I know.
That.
It's that time of year.
I'm bent over. Yes, daughter. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, we discussed this last August, I think, because it seems like it's a summer thing. Want to give us just a quick thing, and then we'll link everybody in the transcript to How to Fight Daughter from last year's show.
You know, I was thinking it's too bad everything about daughter, because it's kind of pretty in a way.
It's kind of like orange string.
It's unusual. Oh, like silly string.
Yeah.
It's orange. It's slender.
Yeah.
This year it has galls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it's a parasite related to morning glories. And it is bad.
It's bad. And it weaves in and out of everything. And I think there's different species that are specific to using different plants as hosts.
Right.
And oh, my goodness.
You said so. It weaves in and out of everything. Well, it doesn't.
No.
It chooses its target.
It does. It picks its host. So it's pretty fascinating. We have a lot of information, as I said, in that transcript from last year. So I'll give a link because other people have also mentioned that they're seeing it in their gardens right now. So
I wonder how it got that name.
I don't know. I'll have
as
to look that
to
up.
Orange vampire.
So a much more optimistic question came from Amy, and it was about blue hydrangeas. And she asked, do we have a favorite blue hydrangea? And what do we specifically think about the variety called Twist and Shout? She's in zone 5B because that can be relevant to an answer about hydrangeas. So any thoughts over there?
She's in 5B.
So that's like me. And I don't do well with the big mop-top blue hydrangeas,
no.
Right? They aren't reliably hardy. The buds, the flower buds, aren't reliably hardy for me. So, yeah.
You know how you always see them by the ocean and they look
yes.
so beautiful?
Yes.
Well, I think because the ocean moderates the temperature, the autumn is very long and the buds have time to ripen. So
yeah.
I don't think it's necessarily freezing temperatures that gets mine. I think it's that they don't ripen because my season's too short. But I can't grow any of the delicious, lovely oceanside varieties
yeah.
of the mop heads, which are macrophylla.
Yeah.
You know, there's ones like the one that she mentioned, an endless summer that bloomed twice. And they don't bloom twice for me, but
no.
I do get a bloom the second time. Because the first set of buds, since they bloom twice on the same plants, the first set of buds are killed by the winter, but I do get the second set of buds. But you and I both are not the best people to talk about as far as macrophylla because we can't really grow them.
Yeah.
Well, we can grow them. They just don't bloom.
Right.
That's the point.
And the twist and shout that she's talking about is similar to that Endless Summer, I think, in that I believe it's one of those that blooms on old and new wood.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So not everybody's in zone 5B, and there are other types of hydrangeas and so forth. But what I like in a hydrangea, and if I could grow those, but in any hydrangeas, the paniculata types that are starting to bloom now in late summer that are much hardier, the oak leaf types, hydrangea quercifolia, you know, whatever, and some of the newer ones that I haven't tried that are serrata and aspera species and so forth. I like the lace cap arrangements, you know, where it's not just all those big flat sterile flowers that can give a hydrangea that mop top big overblown kind of a look, but I like it where it has the little tiny, almost like dots, you know, the little tiny flowers as well, those fertile flowers. Yeah,
right.
So I like that lace cappy look no matter what hydrangea we're talking about, because I love the insect interaction. You know, I love to watch all the bees and everybody else come to hydrangeas, but they don't come to the ones that have only those sterile,
right?
You know, some people call them male flowers, but you know, the sterile flowers.
And they don't look as natural when you kind of, you know, if
no.
you want a natural look in the garden, those big head, baby head hydrangeas don't look quite as natural. I love blue billow. I can't grow it, but that's a big shrub with those very large lace caps, and it does have wonderful color. But since we're saying I can't grow it, I do have plenty of other kinds and also lace caps, especially of the hydrangea arborescens types.
Sure.
I know a lot of people grow Annabelle, which is a double one with a kind of round head. But I grow one called Radiata that is lace cap, but
yes.
it also has silver or really platinum on the back of the leaves.
Yes,
and
beautiful.
If you plant it on a wall or something where there's a breeze, it just flutters like a quaking aspen. It's beautiful. And there's a new one going around called Haas Halo, H-A-A-S-H-A-L-O, with very large lace cap flowers and dark green leaves. And this year, mine is 5 feet tall.
Oh, my goodness. Well, and again, what's great about that is it's a little bit, it's still, these are still cultivars. These are named varieties you're talking about, not just straight hydrangea arborescence as nature made it. But they do have some of that, those fertile flowers in the center usually, you know, that are of an appeal to insects and can provide some nectar and so forth. So that's kind of good. My friends at Broken Arrow Nursery, I did an event there not long ago, and we were walking around doing kind of show and tell as part of the day with people, the workshop. And they have an extensive offering of hydrangeas. And they love this Lady in Red.
Oh, with the red stems.
Yes. And it starts out blue and then it gets sort of fiery colored later in the season. It's also a lace cap style. That was one that they really liked a lot. Have you ever grown that? I haven't grown it.
I'm growing it now. It has one flower.
Oh, okay.
Just got it.
All right. So you just got it. Okay. Well, so that's another one. Any others to recommend before we move right along?
Well, you've mentioned some of my favorite plants. I mean, the oak leaf hydrangeas, I love them.
Yes.
And they're originally from the South, from Georgia, but they are very hardy. And there are people who are testing new selections that they want to grow up into Canada. So they're going to be even hardier.
Yeah.
But they're beautiful and reliable. I do know that they're flood intolerant. I discovered that.
Well, you with your floods. Generally speaking,
well,
plants
so
do not like floods.
Except they're flood intolerant.
Yeah, yeah. So we had a question also from Anita about birds tapping on window glass. And this was a funny one. This one I've heard before, and it's one I've experienced at home too. She says, I have a brown bird with a red breast. It turned out to be a robin. She saw it a second time and wrote back to me. You know, she saw it really like in a flash, and then, you know, she said, that's tapping on my windows. I installed a high-frequency sound box outside, you know, like one of those things that deter rodents and things like that. Didn't help. And she knocked back from on the glass from inside, as in, go away, stop banging. Nope, uh-uh, he keeps knocking. So, you know, she was like, what's going on? And, you know, this is one of those things that's kind of fun. Of course, what's happening is he is seeing the his reflection and thinking there's another male in the territory, and it's his territory, right?
I usually hear about this with rearview mirrors and cards. And cardinals, actually.
Yeah. They're one of the birds that is inclined toward this behavior. Absolutely. So but I thought it was funny. And so what have you ever had to deal with it? I mean, I guess the thing is you need to put some fabric or paper or something on the outside of the window. I mean, putting something on the inside won't necessarily get rid of the glare. You have to kind of go out and check because the idea is to get rid of the reflection.
And if you have screens on the outside of your windows, that kind of takes care of it too.
Yes. Actually. Yes. Yeah.
I have not had that problem. I used to have a problem when the windows didn't have divided lights, you know, with mullions or buttons.
Sure, sure.
I would have accidents, and that was always so sad and depressing. Once a bird crashed into the window, but now I have divided lights, and it hasn't had it happen since. So you don't have to put those stickers on your windows if you have some kind of division in the glass. But that's a totally different thing. I've never had that happen, and I'm not sure what she should do. Wait till the bird gets old?
No, just you got to get rid of the reflection, and so that there's not that. I mean, if it's a car, you can change where you park the car, and that'll change the glare, the glint. You know what I mean? And maybe they'll stop.
You
looking
could
probably, at
get, you know, you could get booties or kind of like rearview mirror cozies.
Right.
And when you park. A lot of cars now have folding rearview mirrors too. You could just fold them in.
Yeah. So I'd say at least temporarily some kind of barrier, like you said, the screen would do it. But you know, taping up some paper, hanging a sheet, whatever, on the outside of the window, get rid of the glare.
Now this is a get rich slow scheme.
Oh yeah, another one of yours.
Uh-huh. Yeah, rearview mirror socks.
Oh my. So Joe in central Missouri has a juniper question. She says, I read with interest, and she read a post on my website, which is very popular, especially in late summer onward, about inner needles of conifers turning brown. It gets a lot of search, you know, traffic, people searching for that. And so she said, I read with interest this story about foliage browning, quote, inside the shrub. And she sent me some pictures, and she has some blue star junipers, and says that some of the inner the needles on the insides of the twigs were turning brown. But it was quite early, she thought, for this to be happening. She took the plant the pictures and one of the plants back to the garden center where she bought it, and they said, no, this is normal. But, you know, and I looked at the pictures, the plants looked good, and apparently it's sort of they looked good unless you poke around inside. But your junipers can suffer. I mean, you do see, you know, you drive by an area where they've used juniper as ground cover, for instance, and sometimes you'll see, you know, enormous amounts of brown and so forth, right?
Right.
So.
That's kind of a different thing.
Right.
That's what you're saying.
Right.
The brown on the inside, that's just physiological. That's the way it, well, the it's the plant is shading itself.
Right.
And the new growth is on the outside, and as the plant gets larger and taller, it's going to lose those needles on the inside.
Right. So it unburdens itself of them because they can no longer conduct photosynthesis since no light's reaching them, right?
Right, right.
But the tricky thing with us all diagnosing our problems ourselves is that sometimes one thing can at first look like another thing, right? Like, that may be very simple in some cases to see what it is. It's only on the inner twigs. It's not spreading, et cetera. But sometimes, you know, we've jumped to that conclusion and we haven't fully examined. So it's good that you took it to the garden center. My feeling is, if she's not feeling comfortable after that visit to the garden center and doing some reading, I don't think it's bad to consult, you know, the cooperative extension pathology, plant pathology lab, you know, to contact your county cooperative extension or state cooperative extension and find out about getting a proper diagnosis. Because sometimes things are pathologies, not, you know what I mean? Not just the inner shedding of needles. So Do you ever send things away for? Have you ever had anything tested?
No.
No. No.
I've had soil tests and I've had water tests over the years, and I do my own soil tests, but that's really kind of different.
Yeah.
No, and especially now that you can look up almost anything online, you can find a lot.
Right.
But that's a good idea. But, Cooperative Extension and the land grant universities, they're different in every state. There's some states
yes.
where they're fantastic and they have all this money and they have wonderful programs. And then some places I've been, there's like 12 people and they're hoping to get a speaker for $12. It's it's different everywhere.
Right. It is.
But
different
of course,
everywhere.
it's worth a try, of course.
Right. But there are, various diseases of junipers, and there is at least one that can also start on the inside.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And as opposed to the tip sort of blights, the tip
right.
from the
right.
tip. When it's coming from the tip going inward, you're in trouble, right? So that's like you want to intervene right away. You want to get a proper diagnosis. And if you have other plants that it can, be transmitted to and so forth, you're like a giant juniper ground cover area, that's a problem. So I just don't think that it's a bad idea to try and ask, for a diagnosis at the lab. I mean, a lot of them are staffed by master gardeners. But, I just talked to a master gardener the other day who actually volunteers at her county extension, a certain afternoon a week, as do other people in the Master Gardener program. And she got a really tough question that she was telling me about, and she had no idea when the question first came in, but she did the research because she they have a tremendous database and library and, lots of great materials there for her to use. So she sat and she did the research and she was able to get back to the homeowner. So I do think even in the states, in the counties that don't have tremendous
right.
funding, is worth a try, to...
And sometimes you talk to someone, and if that person doesn't know, they may know someone who will know.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Someone in the group often specializes in that.
right, right.
Really.
Right.
I think we talked earlier, a month ago or something, about juniper browning on one side from winter sun and wind.
Yes.
In a bad winter.
Yes, also that. So... Yeah, so like where does it start? What's the progression if there is progression? Is it limited to one area of the plant? Are there any other? One of the things I asked her right away was it unusually wet? Because the blue star juniper isn't going to want to be in a pool of water. Is it going to stand
right.
wet feet either? Things like that. Has anything changed? Is there a dramatic weather event or whatever? But yeah, I do think that a lot of times, we want to find that instant Google search answer, do you know what I mean, without it being an authoritative site. And I feel like we need to go back to trusting to asking for the help, whether online or using the phone number or the email service, the Master Gardener answer lines and so forth. We need to go back to the source, to some more credible places that have a scientific orientation, that really have the resources to help us, as opposed to mm-hmm. just, look, Wikipedia said to do this, and then it's like, and nothing against Wikipedia. I'm just saying it's only as good as the people who put the information in there.
Right.
And I'd rather get the plant pathology lab, in my case, at Cornell University, you know what I mean?
As opposed to the box store.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, okay. I'm sorry. I'm just ranting now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm ranting.
Well,
isn't
that why we're here?
That we're here to rant. Exactly. Patricia had a question about oxalis, the weed, wood sorrel. Do you have that?
Doesn't everybody?
Yes, I think so. And it's funny. A lot of people think it's clover, right? It looks like clover, quote unquote,
right?
Right. Right. So her question is, she's in Maine, by the way, perhaps wood sorrel should be called a noxious ground cover, she says. I have those clover-like leaves with small yellow flowers throughout my gardens. And this year, when the heat finally arrived, it's really taken off. Yes, she says, I've tried pulling it out only to find that I might not be getting the long tap root. And also, if I disturb the soil, it seems like I'm releasing more seeds from last year. So I'm helping it spread. And mulching, she says, hasn't really seemed to make a dent. And she tried vinegar spray. I don't have any good answer for this. Do you have a good – I think I spent an hour Yesterday, 1 hour was just on oxalis.
Oh, you mean weeding?
Yeah.
No, that's
because it had rained. It had finally rained, so it was moist, and so I pulled them out by the roots, you know.
Right. And some years are worse than other years. And this year, because we've had so much rain, it's almost 18 inches tall in some places.
It's hilarious, right? And I have two different species. I have the sort of more creeping one that's
like reddish. The reddish one?
Yes. And that's right. A different species from, I think the yellow, more upright one is Stricta, I think. I'm going to forget the species of the other one. But yeah, so I have two different ones. Not only do I have it, I have two.
Well, in general, I'm not a fan of foraging because you have to really know what you're eating.
Yeah.
You may think this is a leap, but wood sorrel is delicious.
You're kidding.
No. You never tasted it?
Well, I've tasted sorrel, you know, the plant sorrel.
Well, it tastes like sorrel. It's lemony and fruity. And it's very good snipping off a couple of leaves in a salad.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Or on garnishing a soup. Trust me, you could try a leaf.
Okay,
and you'll
I'll try
surprised
a leaf. I'll
how
try
good
a leaf.
It is.
I'll try a leaf.
Which doesn't help at all with weeding because you can only eat like three leaves.
No.
But at least it's some kind of revenge.
Yeah. So what's going on over there? Any other besides your daughter issue? What else is going on over there?
Well, we've had more rain than ever, actually, mm-hmm. and the hottest June on record.
Yeah.
And you probably remember way back in July, there were 3 days. Well, here it was 90, over 90 for 3 days. And I was out there again, not thinking, and not for very long. And I couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. I thought maybe I'd taken the wrong medication or something. I had the weirdest symptoms. And then I remembered that night that like over 30 years ago, I'd had a very similar thing happen where I had heat stress.
Wow.
And now it's a couple of days later. Well, it's almost a week later. And I was just out this afternoon and I started to feel it again because it sort of lingers. And it's like my head is almost throbbing kind of quickly. And I take little short breaths and I don't exactly get out of breath. It's the weirdest thing. But I think it's just too much heat. I have to be more careful.
Yeah.
Drink.
And I think it's really a good thing for us all to remember, because this outdoor work, especially when we get into the high heat of peak summer, and in our region it's humid as well as, and many regions it's humid as well as hot. I mean, this is hard on the body. It's not easy, you know. And so the early morning hours when there is some fresh air, you know, or the evening hours are probably better, or the midday hours are, it's tough stuff. So yes, and as you're saying, hydrate. So
you know, I have a lot of shade, and you'd think that would be good enough, but
not when it was as hot as it was.
No, and people
recently who want
to grow vegetables in the morning, in the evening, cut flowers, vegetables.
Yeah,
just don't be out there.
Yeah,
in the afternoon.
Yeah. Well, I will. I guess we will. Entertain some new questions in a couple more weeks. And I know also, as we said at the beginning of the program, we're going to be meeting up in mid-September at the New York State Writers Institute Book Festival. And lots more good news to come, right, Ken? You might be having a new book coming before too long. So we'll talk about that someday soon.
Yes.
Okay. Will. All right. So I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Mark.
Uh-huh.
Underwriting support from Timber Press, your go-to resource for books in gardening and nature. Whether you're a new gardener, a professional at the top of your field, or a reader interested in the wonders of the natural world, their books are there to help you grow. TimberPress.com.
I'll talk to all the rest of you soon, I hope, as well. Now, don't miss an episode. You can subscribe free to the podcast version on Stitcher or iTunes, and find me anytime at awaytogarden.com or on Facebook or Instagram as @awaytogarden. And happy gardening meantime.
A Way to Garden with Margaret Roach is a joint production of awaytogarden.com and the smallest NPR station in the nation, Robin Hood Radio.